The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Dr. Bruce Maccabees here about the FBI, CIA, UFO connection. And as I said, we got a lot of ground to cover, so I'm kind of jumping through topics and years, and we can't spend, you know, an hour on each one, but I'll try our best. Just looking at maybe a summary as we get to our final third of the show here. As we look over the interest of these agencies in the subject, is there something to disclose behind those closed doors of secrecy? Is there a real truth to be had? Because people have been asking year after year for disclosure, What's your take on it?
Most of the FBI stuff was completed in the late 50s, except for the Sicaro case. One case, which apparently was an abduction in 1967. The CIA might have something to confess, but they didn't confess it to me when I was there, so I don't know for sure.
So does anybody, any agency within the government, do you think, have all this secret knowledge about Roswell, if it was real, possible other cases, something to say, hey, we're being visited by E.T. or whatever? What guilty knowledge the government has? Does an agency have the secret? Do they really know? Is there something that we can get them to disclose? Or is that just an excuse disclosure?
Based on Vandenberg's action of kicking, rejecting the estimate, I would say the Air Force intelligence has been the point squad on this all along. If anybody has to confess covering up, it's the Air Force. As I try to do in my book, demonstrate that they did orchestrate a cover-up by rejecting, not allowing interplanetary to be a possible explanation for any UFO sighting. I also pointed out in the book the fact that I did not find clear evidence of a CIA covering up stuff. Did not mean that there was no secret group. Along with Alexander, I assume there is a secret group somewhere. John Alexander, in his book, argues that he was never able to find that secret group. And I wasn't able to find it either. But I defer to Kit Green's comment that he had interviewed a number of people, and some people, top-level people, and some people knew something and some didn't, but it gave him the impression that there was something going on somewhere. It just couldn't get to it. My guess is it's a contractor type of operation where there's a very thin pipeline, not many people are aware of a lot of money that's flowing to some contractor analyzing whatever's available. Clearly, if Roswell is real and there's crashed debris and bodies, there's some major work going on somewhere. At the very least, they're controlling access to the information. If Roswell, if there have been no crashes, there's still cover-up of the conclusion that some of these things seen in the sky are interplanetary.
So would the point people responsible for this secret be largely in private industry with maybe just a few people in the government in on what's going on?
That's what I would say. You minimize the number of people who know the secret in order to minimize the possibility that it gets out. And depending on who it is in the government that knows the secret, the government is probably less trustworthy. Government employees may be less trustworthy than contractor employees in this regard. But the real question comes down to why don't they let us know what's really going on? Is there something that they know that we don't, that makes it clear that it would be detrimental to civilization or something like that, if they were to have, quote, complete disclosure, unquote?
Well, what about the Office of Naval Intelligence? You were in the Navy. I've been hearing whisperings all over the place over the years about the involvement of the ONI in investigating UFOs and having some sort of a presence in this particular subject. Over the years, what have you heard about ONI's knowledge? Do you think that they're involved in any sort of cover-up?
Back in the late 70s, I did the Freedom of Information Act request to the Office of Naval Intelligence for any information on UFOs. And they sent me a couple of pages of analysis of the Tremonton and Utah films. The film that I talked about earlier, done by the National Photo Interpretation Center. They had copies of the documents written by the photo interpretation guys. Now, I sent the Freedom of Information Act guy a copy of a document I found in the FBI file, which was a report of by naval aviators in Alaska seeing balls of light flying around and then chasing the balls of light and so on. This is where they had airplanes up there all the time in case of Soviet incursions across the Bering Strait. So I not only did I ask them for the documents, I said, here they are. Can you find these? And there was a document related to these sightings in Alaska, and it had commentary on it by some operational Navy research group, Op 344 or whatever the number was, something like that. And I sent that to the Freedom of Information Act guy by the name of Koshalis, and he said they searched all up and down, left, right, and sideways. They weren't even able to find the document that I had. And so it only existed in the FBI file, I guess. And they couldn't find anything else other than these photo interpretation analyses of the Tremonton and Great Falls movies.
Well,
bottom
sounds
line
like
was, my Freedom of Information Act didn't turn off anything that the Navy was doing.
It sounds like they've been really covering their tracks pretty well, don't you think?
Well, they would have covered their tracks very well, yes. You hear about things like tracking fast-moving underwater objects in the tongue of the ocean, or Navy cases like that, or you might include the Operation Main Brace cases in September of 1952 as Navy. So I don't know why they didn't have anything related to that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember reading the incredible statistic stated by Ivan T. Sanderson in his book Invisible Residence, which is about submerged UFOs and UFOs in water. And he made the outrageous statement that 50% of all UFO sightings are somehow connected with bodies of water. So you would think that the Navy, if that's true, the Navy would have a voluminous files on you know, cases that involve UFOs in water. It's mind-blowing to me that there's almost no FOIA results coming back from the Navy.
Yeah, well, I never I know some people who are in the Navy laboratories who are interested in the subject, but they didn't indicate that there was a part of a research group devoted to UFO analysis. I spoke at a lecture at the Naval Installation China Lake one time, and we went out for dinner afterwards with a bunch of people. People were throwing things around, so on, but again, there was no indication that there was somebody there who knew a lot more than I did, or was covering up some sort of an ongoing research group.
Did anyone from the military ever come to you and say, you know what, you're kind of walking on eggshells here, maybe move away from a particular topic or exploration?
No, the place that I work told me, we don't care what you do in your spare time, as long as you don't get us involved. That is the name of the laboratory. So I would say I work for the Navy, but I wouldn't put the name of the laboratory on. Of course, I put it in my book because it's all years ago now. But at the time, there was one time when I was reprimanded for giving a UFO lecture to a group of retired Air Force colonels. And this lecture was given at Fort Myers in Washington, D.C. And after I given this lecture and talked about some, nuclear UFOs over our nuclear site, this lecture was way back in the early 80s.
Let's find out what happened when you gave that lecture in our next segment. Dr. Bruce McAbee is here with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, early 80s, you're giving this lecture to some Air Force people.
I think it was a Society of Old Crows or something like that. I forget the exact name they call themselves, but they were Navy colonels and above in the Air Force. And after the lecture was over, some old guy compared to me Looks like you've been in the 60s. He says, you can't talk about that stuff, or words to that effect. He was I don't know if he'd known in advance what the lecture was going to be about, but he was essentially admonishing me against talking about UFOs. That's the closest I ever got to being told I should shut up.
Of course, I wonder in situations like that, where if they talk to people like you and say something, you might report to the public what they did, and that just makes you look more credible.
Well, yeah, I think this guy's comment was probably spur of the moment on his part, and of course, I noted the comment and basically ignored it. Went right on talking. I went and talked to another guy who was an Air Force captain, I believe, who said that he had been in charge of a missile base in Utah, and the same thing had happened at his place.
Let's just move in our final three segments, catch as catch can, to other subjects. Okay. We think about this now because there may be another Clinton vying for the White House very soon. The reported interest by the Clintons in UFOs dating back to the 1990s. Some observations?
As you know from reading the book, I ended up writing a briefing for the President's Clinton science advisor.
Right.
In 1993, a few months after Clinton had taken office. That was a result of Lawrence Rockefeller and Scott Jones. Lawrence Rockefeller, I presume everybody recognizes the name. Scott Jones was acted as a UFO investigator. And he was the head of the so-called Human Potential Foundation. A long background on Mr. Jones. But in any case, they wanted to brief Clinton on what was known about UFOs, sort of an attempt to get some presidential-level disclosure going. And they knew, Scott Jones knew Givens personally, and told Givens they wanted to get a lot of time with Clinton to talk about you. Well, they didn't say initially what it was. And Lawrence Rockefeller was a big donor, so of course he could get time anytime he wanted, practically. And so they made an arrangement with Givens that they would brief Givens. He said, you can talk to the president, but you have to get it past me, in effect. So Lawrence Rockefeller and Scott Jones made an arrangement to talk about UFOs to John Givens. And Givens was petrified, according to Pandolfi. The thought of losing credibility by talking about UFOs. So I was unaware of all this until 13th, I guess it was, of April, and I was at home doing some work, and I got a phone call from Pandolfi saying, I want you to provide a briefing for John Givens, the president's science advisor, at which point my jaw sort of fell to the floor. Is that obviously an amazing opportunity. So immediately I started thinking about typical presentations take a week or more to get develop all the view graphs and script and everything else that goes along with it. So then Pandolfi says it's got to be ready by tomorrow. And I began wondering how the world is it going to do this. And then he says it's got to be faxed to the Gibbons office by 8 o'clock in the morning. So I sat down and wrote out what I could in that amount of time, and sent it at 8 o'clock in the morning, and a few hours later I learned that the meeting had been held at 7:30. Typical governmental situation. My briefing paper had no impact on whatever the discussion was when Lawrence Rockefeller and Scott Jones actually talked to Givens.
Well, why do you think that the whole subject didn't get legs and actually become a talking point in the administration? It almost seems like it just totally disappears from the scene from that point on.
Well, it didn't disappear from that point on. Anybody who knows what Grant Cameron has collected, or you can write under the Freedom of Information Act, all papers generated about UFOs at the White House. The Rockefeller push, you might say, went on for another year, a couple of years. I think it was 95 or 96 that...
Yeah, I'm saying after that particular initiative, it seems to have disappeared off the radar for the most part.
Right. After 96, there was nothing, if that's what you mean. Supposedly, Clinton and Mrs. Clinton were briefed when they were on vacation at Rockefeller's ranch in Wyoming. After that, you don't hear anything about it.
Right. And that was about the time that I met Rockefeller, and he did express his frustration over the lack of response by the administration. The whole issue seemed to have kind of spun its wheels and then just, you know, like I said, fell off the radar. And he was very frustrated by that because he thought he had put together, you know, some slam dunk information that would be impossible for the president and his and Givens and others in the administration to ignore.
I was at we had a little mini conference, I guess you could say, at Rockefeller's ranch in the fall of 93. I and a number of other people gave presentations there, on the subject in various aspects. I talked a lot about the New Zealand case, for example. And, so far as I could tell, there was no net result of that. I was advised by my boss that his boss had wanted me to write some UFO or send him up some UFO documents because they had heard, they had a request from a Navy admiral who Lawrence Rockefeller and Scott Jones knew. I don't know who it was, but this Navy admiral had called up the captain in charge of the laboratory where I worked and asked, is Bruce McAbee crazy or words to that effect? And so that question worked its way down through the ranks to my boss. And my boss didn't think I was crazy. So, and he said, the captain of the lab wants to read some of your work. So I sent some of my best writing up the chain of command to the captain. I never heard anything else about it after that, but I guess they decided, since I wasn't fired, I guess they decided I wasn't crazy after all.
So they decided you were sane after all.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that explains it right now, Chris. That's why sometimes in my life I've worked at a job and they've decided they'd rather have somebody else do that job. So maybe they determined that I was a little bit too crazy for it. No, that's not. Let me tell our listeners, we have that new service, plus.theparacast.com, the Paracast Plus, plus.theparacast.com. If you join up, $5 a month, $50 a year, you get the ad-free version of the show, none of those inserted ads, higher resolution, and extra content. In fact, we're going to introduce a new segment called After the Paracast, which will be an irregular segment where Chris and I just talk shop and sometimes talk about the show without interruptions, without a clock. But the clock is moving right now. We've got Dr. Bruce McAbee with us. I'm Gene Steinberg with Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three square meals you'll need in an emergency. So the Freeze Dry Guys three square meal unit sale is just a ticket. A variety pack of tasty, nourishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on sale now. Breakfast is Freeze Dry Guys' favorite. Hot oatmeal and sweet dehydrated bananas. Lunch is Mountain House freeze-dried hot macaroni and cheese and crisp green beans. And dinner is Mountain House long grain wild rice pilaf and hearty beef stew, vegetables, and gravy. Call Freeze Dry Guy and ask for details on the 126 serving three square meals unit. One case normally $164.37, sale price at only $138.90. Save over $25. Get two or three cases and save even more. Or ask about Freeze Dry Guys fall chili special. Always free shipping to lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 or click freezedryguy.com. And hurry, the fall chili special and three square meals unit are on sale while supplies last. From the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze dried and dehydrated foods available for long term storage, period.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
This is the Paracast with Gene and Chris. We're going to go on with lots and lots of discussions in our remaining two segments. Dr. Bruce Maccabee, since we brought in the issue of President Clinton, do you think any of the presidents have any real knowledge of what's going on about this subject? Well, I don't want to leave that standing.
Well, a few presidents who have been part of the intelligence community may know. Typically, you know, why would you tell a president he's going to be here for no more than 8 years, maybe only 4 years, and he's primarily interested in the political situation? One doesn't know how a president might react to learning that, so why take a chance? Why would the intelligence community tell any president that UFOs are real when we've got crash disks and all that sort of stuff? Because it introduces a new uncertainty into civilization. If there's one thing that civilization can't stand, it's uncertainty.
What about in the early years when UFOs were first becoming ubiquitous? What about President Truman, Eisenhower? Do you think maybe they knew more than their successors?
They may well have, because they were the top of the intelligence communities and as they were president. I suspect that major information went quickly underground, but there were enough people aware of firsthand awareness of the subject, either by sightings or knowing people who had sightings. There were enough for top-level people who knew that it wouldn't change much to tell them the truth. They were already coping with whatever the implications of the truth were.
Let me just ask you a quick question about that, though, and that is, in the event something happened that forced the issue, a mass landing or something, wouldn't there have to be a contingency plan to sit the president down, his national security people, and say, oh, by the way, we didn't tell you this before?
Yeah, well, certainly that feeling may well have occurred during the 1952, the summer of 52, which I call the year of the UFO, when there were sightings coming in. On July 26th, or whatever it was, there were something like 50 sightings in one day from all over the place. And at that point, they may well have thought that an invasion was imminent. And they could have told Truman what was going on. But, I don't know. It's a question you can only speculate on.
Well, we do have a number of questions at forum.theparacast.com in our question thread where our listeners, Bruce, can ask questions of our guests, and we do have some in here. This one comes from Randall, who calls himself Ufology. He's one of our most prolific posters. He's well over 5,000 posts at the forum. And he's wondering, in your 1990 book, The Gulf Breeze Sightings by Ed and Francis Walters, you wrote, "In my opinion, this is not a hoax. After an extensive investigation, I've concluded that everything described here actually happened, more or less as they have described it." Today, are you still of the same opinion? And if not, why not?
I'm still of the same opinion.
Okay. That was a short, punchy answer.
I outlined the reason for my belief. I was certainly aware of all the criticisms of stuff related to double exposure hoaxing and everything. Accused the accusations against Ed Walters and so on. And I tried to outline my reasons for believing that things happened that he could not have hoaxed. And so anybody who asked that question, I presume, has the book and therefore can read my chapter. There's other stuff on my webpage. One case in particular, January 8th, 1990, which was a multiple witness case with photography that involved Ed, but other people too, which I find quite stands apart from the sightings that happened in 87, 88. But anybody who wants to can read that on my website, www.brumac.8k.com.
Okay, so you're saying because of all the other sightings that were taking place during that same general time period, that is an indication to you that there was activity down there and it couldn't all have been generated by a person like Ed Walters hoaxing photographs.
Also, the Agatha were 100 or more other witnesses. It would be illogical to say that Ed was hoaxing all the pictures. And at the same time, except that any one of the witnesses who claimed to saw the same thing was telling the truth. In other words, Ed was guilty by photography, to use his phrase. If he hadn't taken any photos, it would have been like anybody else's sightings, I guess.
Right. Well, here's another question that we have. This one's from Blowfish, who's been a poster at forum.theparacast.com since January of 2010. And he's speculating, kind of riffing here a little bit, and he's wondering if you think there are two types of space programs controlled by China, Russia, and the USA, one that's a public relations program and another one that's secret and military run.
I'm sure there are secret military programs, but they've gone much farther than the known programs. Is hard to say. I could only speculate. But I remember back in 1980s going to a week long seminar for budding young program managers, in which all sorts of things were discussed, and some references were made to what they call the Black Shuttle. This is when shuttles were just beginning. And the Black Shuttle presumably was an Air Force project that was secret. I didn't pursue that at the time, so I don't know how far these top secret military spacecraft that have gone. But at that point, as I said, they were talking about the Black Shuttle going to be starting up sometime, which would have been in the 80s.
Well, Bruce, what do you think of this movement within space program to privatize and go with corporate entities like SpaceX, Elon Musk, Orbital Technologies, you know, Robert Bigelow and his Bigelow Aerospace? Do you think that this move into the private sector is going to help divulge information about UFOs, possibly artifacts on the moon, for instance? Or do you think that this is going to further hinder any sort of disclosure?
Well, I don't think it'll have an impact on disclosure unless one of these organizations runs into something absolutely convincing. It's like if they discover an obelisk on the moon or something like that. If somebody crashes into an unknown alien spacecraft and they get pieces of it. I think it would take something pretty convincing to have an impact on one of these programs that you're just talking about. But the real question is, if they ran into something, is there a fine print in a contract that says if you come into run into something that's clearly alien, you have to give it up to such and such a government organization?
Well, that makes sense for the U.S., but what about China? What about India? Do you think if they come up with some sort of amazing slam-dunk evidence of artifacts on the moon, let's say, as an example, do you think that they would release that information just to embarrass the United States or to put pressure on the United States, possibly to disclose more openly the extent of their knowledge?
Let's have the answer our next segment, the final segment, with Dr. Bruce McAbee and Gene. And Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
We all have our own idea about what being safe and secure means. The door's locked, bills are paid, you've got a job that keeps the lights on, and a home to call your own. But what happens when Mother Nature throws a curveball?
I'm calling you to take cover.
Are you prepared to live without electricity or passable roads for weeks at a time? Do you even have a plan B? If you do, are you willing to bet your life on it?
Children left with no homes.
And no one's coming to help them. Help
the first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48 states. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today, or visit us at MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Remember, plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Sign up for our premium plus package, $5 a month, $50 a year, and we'll be adding some new special features, okay? New special features, including after the Paracast. Chris, you want to go through that question one more time for Dr. Maccabee in our final segment?
Sure. Because we're seeing other countries like India and China starting to go to the moon, have a more robust presence in space, do you think if these countries discover some sort of slam dunk information that's highly sensational, let's say artifacts on the moon would be the obvious example, do you think that they would disclose this to embarrass the United States possibly, or to put pressure on the United States to be more forthcoming about our knowledge of what's really going on with UFOs and supposed visitation?
Well, first part of the question ought to be, would they release the information anyway, whether to embarrass the United States or not? There may be some secret agreement that if they run into clearly alien technology somehow or other, they're going to keep quiet about it. They might release it. I don't know if they say, oh, Biddy, we can embarrass the United States by releasing this information. If there's something about this information that has convinced the U.S. government that it shouldn't be released, that same information probably would convince the Chinese or the Indians.
Sure, but what about the Iranians? What about these rogue nations? Do you think they will have the same concerns? What about North Korea?
Well, it depends on the information that's being withheld, and speculate.
Yeah, they don't have space programs, Gene. I mean,
but that doesn't mean they don't have information. Maybe it doesn't mean that a UFO can't crash in North Korea or in Iran or in any of these other countries. You know, they have UFO sightings, too.
Sure. If a UFO crashed in Iran, would they run and tell the United States that we got one? Or would they cover it up? I don't know.
They sure didn't cover up and somehow managing to hijack one of our drones there a few years back.
But that's not impossible technology or impossible sighting. They're starting off from the point of view that UFOs don't exist, therefore you can't get a crashed one. If a crashed one comes along, then this changes the whole game, and they may follow along the same line of thought as the Air Force, U.S. Air Force did back in 1947. The bottom line would be, I'm Chinese or I'm Iranian or I'm Afghanistanian or I'm South Africa or wherever. Is it going to do me any good to release this information? And the answer to that, of course, is going to depend upon the person's culture, background, all sorts of stuff. If they conclude that it's not going to be a good thing, they probably won't.
Right. In other words, there's got to be a real plus side.
Payoff somewhere. That. Follow the money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Blowfish has another question here, and you know, you brought up several very important cases that you discuss at some length in your book. He wants to know, what is your best UFO case that you've investigated during your research? And he also mentions that he has bought your book and that he really enjoys it. He says it's a very good read.
So, what were you gonna say?
Most favorite case.
Probably the most important one I've investigated is the New Zealand sightings because of the amount of data left over. Certainly the Grenville photos, 1950 year, very interesting. I got a lot of stuff on my website about that. That's an interesting photo case because it's either a real thing or a hoax. There's no halfway point. Yeah, but you only have two people making a claim and a photograph. In the New Zealand case, you've got multiple witnesses to that were flying on this airplane. Multiple witnesses to appearances and disappearances of lights around the aircraft. You've got a tape recording made on the aircraft by a reporter. You've got a 16mm color movie made on the airplane by a cameraman. You've got the pilot and the co-pilot and a sound recording person.
You have radar data as well.
And you also have the ground radar. And you have some instances. One instance in particular of ground radar where the plane is flying essentially southward away from the radar, and the radar is picking up a target behind the aircraft, then it picks up a target on the right-hand side of the aircraft. Then suddenly the aircraft target gets twice as large as it ought to be. Now, I've written a big paper on radar analysis and how this is essentially an impossibility unless you actually have some radar reflective object close to the aircraft. To sort of like stretch out the little arc that's made on the radar screen. So that's an impossible radar case. Something was there. And the witnesses looked and saw something with a light on it flashing as it was traveling along. The main part of that sighting as far as publicity is concerned is that they were flying from Christchurch northward at about 2:30 in the morning. They saw a very bright light and filmed a lot of film of it. And I used one frame of that film to calculate how bright this thing was. I make an estimate of its brightness, and I wrote a paper that appeared in Applied Optics, a little paper that appeared in Applied Optics in the summer of 1979, and then a rebutting paper appeared in December of 1979 saying it was a squid boat, and then I rebutted the rebuttal. And yet another paper said it couldn't have been a squid boat because it moved. Anyway, that has it's a very complicated series of events.
Bruce, we really haven't got enough time to really cover all the ramifications. I want to ask you just one final question before we end the show, and it's going to require probably a lot of discussion, but we don't have more than a couple of minutes. And that is, we look over the years at the obvious evidence that eyewitness testimony is extremely unreliable. Of course, a lot of UFO cases don't have radar visual sightings or photographs or anything like that. It's all the eyewitness. So when you have situations like this, how do you know how accurate to take those eyewitness perceptions, especially when we have an unexpected event that might be frightening to some people?
Well, it depends on the type of event. You have to evaluate each sighting on its own. Make a grand scale comment that, well, I'm never going to talk about single witness cases. Or I'm never going to talk about cases that have only two or less witnesses. And you still have a bunch of cases left over. If you say you're going to talk about only cases that have hard evidence or landing traces, trace cases and stuff, you still got a bunch left over. So, I think you have to evaluate each case on its merits. Certainly, most of them are single witness cases, but that doesn't mean that the single witness case has to be bad. I always like to go back and discuss the so-called first case, Kenneth Arnold. That's a single witness case. Mr. Arnold made measurements as the sighting went on, and he took detailed notes in his head. He memorized the various places these things flew, straight line and southward.
Point being here is that he'd made a lot of effort to enhance his memory of what he saw, to catalog as much as possible. That's, of course, the Kenneth Arnold case.
You can't say that he was a copycat case, because that was the first one.
Sure. Bruce McAbee, please tell our listeners where they can find more of the things you do.
Well, on the internet, www.brumac.8k.com, brumac.8k.com.
We have a link to that at the Paracast.com site. The book is called
The FBI CIA UFO Connection.
And you can order a copy from richardolanpress.com or the usual offenders. All right. We have things to tell you about us. We have, of course, the Paracast Plus. That's plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Check out how you can get an ad-free version of the Paracast, higher quality content. We're going to have other stuff like After the Paracast and special audio-video presentations to offer, chat rooms and more, plus.theparacast.com. Check out Chris O'Brien's site, OurStrangePlanet.com, OurStrangePlanet.com. Get a copy of Stalking the Herd, signed and numbered, if you buy the hardcover version. And by the way, if you visit our site, theparacast.com, and you sign up for our free weekly newsletter, we give you something else free, a copy of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley from Chris O'Brien, the ebook version, at theparacast.com for the Paracast newsletter. Dr. Bruce McAbee, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you for having me. Very interesting.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Now through November 30th, get 3 months of GoFood storable food free when you buy a one-year supply. Get 6 weeks free with your purchase of a six-month supply, and 3 weeks free with your purchase of a three-month supply. GoFoods are storable for 25 years, non-GMO, kosher certified, and quick fix. Call 800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com. That's www.storefoodnow.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.